Where's the show?
All right, guys, there's a little bit of quiet, so I'm just going to stop it there. All right, let's get into it, guys. We are going to read from the Bible, so please, if you haven't got a handout, maybe I'll grab one for you. Who hasn't got a handout? Okay. Thank you. Cool. So your Bible reading for today is from John 14, 1-7, and it should be in the handout. It is also up on the screen. John 14, 1-7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't even know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So I've only just turned 30, not that long ago, which means I'm almost twice the age of some of you guys in this room, especially if you've just started uni. Which also means I'm a little bit out of touch with young people culture these days. So I decided to do a little bit of research. According to McCrindle Research Australia, if you were born between 1995 and 2009, you are Gen Z. So that's a lot of you, I think, in this room. Which means that you were shaped in an era where society started looking at screens more than people's faces. Some other names for this generation include screenagers, the net generation, click and go kids, the iGen, generation connected, or dot-com kids, or Google generation. This generation is also a global generation. In my early years of high school, I was into all kinds of music, especially Asian music. Cantonese pop, Taiwanese pop, K-pop, J-pop. But back then, K-pop was very niche. Only Koreans listened to K-pop, and a few wannabe Koreans as well. Nowadays, K-pop is everywhere, if you haven't noticed. And now, probably, maybe most of the people who listen to it now are actually not Korean, maybe just wannabe Koreans as well. And they probably don't understand a word of what is said. We live in a digital age. A fast-paced world of constant change, where everyone is connected through digital devices. I mean, I'm using one right now as well. People are more likely to send a text with their fingers than to speak to someone face-to-face, and I know probably most of you as well don't like speaking on the phone. I don't either. Now, have a look at this graphic. In my generation, I don't know if you can see it, it's kind of a bit small and choppy, but in my generation, Gen Y, one in three people had uni degrees. Gen Z, one in two have uni degrees. So you guys are more educated than my generation. And look how quickly also life changes for Gen Z. 5 careers, 15 homes, 17 jobs in a lifetime. That's a lot of big changes in one lifetime. Now, this is what Forbes has to say about Gen Z. While millennials are often seen as more idealistic and more motivated by purpose than paycheck, Generation Z may lean more towards security and money. This is a pragmatic generation. They care about making a difference, but are ultimately motivated by ensuring they have a secure life outside of work. So security is a major concern for Gen Z. But to be fair, it's not really just Gen Z, is it? All generations from the very beginning of time have been concerned about security. All people in all generations have fears and anxieties about the future, and no one is exempt from that. My parents wouldn't let me hear the end of it when I was growing up, telling me to study hard so I could secure a future for myself. And so I studied hard, I worked really hard from a young age, because I was always really scared about the future. My HSC was a really scary year, because I thought my whole future was hanging off of it. But I guess the difference between the difference with this generation is how connected this generation really is. Which our smart devices, they give us access to news, social media, and new information all the time. And I think what that does is I think it increases our fears and our anxieties about the future, about what's happening around us, as we continue to encounter day by day, moment by moment, how crazy the life that we live is. Now, here are some things maybe that you can do to manage some of those insecurities. Number one, work hard to make sure you get good grades at uni, maintaining a distinction average maybe, so you can get that secure job at a prestigious firm. Two, work hard at internships and part-time jobs so that you can gain enough experience and have enough money for whatever you want to do. Three, make sure you have heaps and heaps of friends so that you always have connections to turn to when you need help. Or four, forget about all your worries and live your life in a sort of Hakuna Matata kind of way. No worries the rest of your days. Jesus presents us with another option. He tells us that he is the one that we should entrust with our future. Whether you're Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z people, he says to us, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, try to put yourselves in the shoes of the disciples at this point. They've left their homes, their families, and their jobs to follow this Jesus guy because they believed he would lead them to a better life. They must have entrusted a lot to him to be able to leave everything to follow him. But now he's just told them, just for a bit of context, he has told them he's about to go away. How do you reckon they would have felt at this point? They've left everything, and he's going away. Well, probably they would be rather confused at this point. They would probably feel aimless, a little bit insecure, because their leader that they've spent 3 or so years with is about to leave them. Is he just going to abandon them, leave them all alone after all this time? I think one of the scariest things in life is the insecurity of not knowing whether your friends and your family will stick by you. From when kids are born, they start to form these attachments to their parents or their primary caregivers. But very early on, they also start to feel insecure when their parents leave the room, and they'll kick and they'll scream and cry at first when they're dropped off at childcare. Kids from very, very early on will know that they need someone that they can trust. They need to know, they need to be assured that they are not alone in the world. And kids who grow up constantly fearing that their parents are going to leave them will also often have troubles trusting people as they grow up. If they don't develop a strong sense of security at home, they will have difficulty also forming relationships. This will also carry on into adulthood. And now that all of you guys are also adults at this point, you've probably experienced some kind of insecurity, abandonment perhaps, not feeling like the people around you are going to be around all the time. Uni is also a bit of a scary place. It's a place where there are heaps and heaps of people that you don't know as well. Even in this room, there are probably people that you don't know. And I don't know how you feel, maybe you're a first year, you might be afraid that you won't connect with anyone at uni. That is a very, very normal fear to have. A lot of people have that. And so some of you might not even want to invest in friendships, perhaps, because you're afraid that those friendships will die someday as well. But we can't deny that we all value human relationships, and we value community. And so, because we value that so much, we will also fear when companionship and community is taken away. Jesus' disciples are afraid that they will be abandoned. this secure attachment that they formed with Jesus is something that they don't want to let go of. I mean, they thought that this Jesus was going to be with them forever, leading them to a richer, fuller life. They thought being with Jesus would mean that they would conquer the world. But now he's saying that he's going to leave them. What on earth are these people going to do without their fearless leader? Jesus reassures them with these words. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that you may be where I am also. Jesus assures his disciples, his followers here at this point, that even if others might abandon them, he never will. And his purpose for going away is actually to prepare the way so that he and his followers can be together forever, so that even death won't break this relationship. Jesus is saying to every one of us today, just trust me. But is he really worth trusting in? Now, even if you're not very familiar with Christianity, Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life, are probably words that you are familiar with. But have you ever thought about what these words actually mean? Well, he adds straight after these words, he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Which basically means, no one can get into heaven without Jesus. One of my favorite shows on Netflix at the moment is a show called The Good Place. Who's actually seen it before? Nice. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty awesome, so you should, if you can. I think it's on ABC as well, actually. There's a few episodes. Anyway, basically the show is about The Good Place, which is basically your ideal heaven sort of place. Early on in the story, it's revealed that the way to get into The Good Place is through this points system. So every single one of your actions will be given a score, which will either subtract or add to your total score. And if your score is high enough, then you can enter the good place. But if it's too low, then down you go to the bad place. And so here are some of the things that could get you in or out of the good place. End slavery, plus 814,292.09. You probably can't see some of these. Save a child from drowning, plus 1,202.33. Use Facebook as a verb, minus 5.55. Some of these, obviously, this is an American show, so yeah, there's a bunch of stuff there that won't really apply to us. But step carefully over a flower bed, plus 2.09. Poison a river, minus 4,010. All kinds of different things. The problem is that no one really knows what the system is. So no one really knows what they're getting themselves into when they do this or that. You're kind of just guessing all of the time. And that's actually how some of us live as well. We kind of just guess our way through all of life. Not really committing to any particular moral code, but hoping that what we do might just be enough to get us by. But you see here, Jesus doesn't leave us with no clue on how to get there. In fact, he tells his disciples, you already know the way to where I am going. Because it's really quite simple. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I think most people who believe in heaven also believe in this kind of point system, where if you've done enough good, or then you will be able to enter, but if you've done too much bad, then you won't be able to. But Jesus tells us that he himself is the way, the truth, and the life, so that no one can actually enter except through him. Because without him, no one can actually truly know God. And unlike other moral systems and religions, Jesus shows us that the way to God is through this personal relationship with him. That is not about your total score that you've achieved by the end of your life. Or to put it in other words, the way to the good place is through a person, not through a point system. One of my favorite characters in The Good Place is a guy called Chidi. He's a moral philosophy professor who devoted his life to studying morals and ethics. And all throughout his life, his fatal flaw was that because he always thought so much about all the consequences for every one of his actions, he was always frozen with indecision. Even if it was just a simple decision between a chocolate or a blueberry muffin. And I think that that is sort of what religion is actually like. You're always so worried that your actions are going to land you in the bad place. Was I wrong to ignore that friend who was in need? Am I going to be punished for thinking lustfully about that person? Have I done enough to be able to please God? Have I eaten too much ice cream or chocolate today? And so you constantly live your life doing what you can to try to secure that future of yours, never really knowing whether or not you've done enough or where you're going to end up. But Jesus assures us that everyone who knows him personally and trusts in him already knows the way. Even if they were at some point drug pushers or players, thugs or murderers or even dictators, they can still be certain that having a personal relationship with this Jesus means that their lives can be turned around and their future will be secured. The point is that if we trust Jesus and take him at his word, we will be able to experience a sense of security in life that nothing else in this life can bring. If you know him, you know exactly where you are going. So where does that actually leave us today? Firstly, Jesus' words here are meant to be a comfort to his followers and any prospective followers as well. Life is always full of a million uncertainties, and it's so hard to be at peace when there is so much going on. But Jesus tells us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Just trust me, I've got your back. Now, it's only natural that we do face trouble in life. But the amazing thing about Jesus' words here is that he is the one comforting them when actually Jesus is the one facing the biggest trial at this point. He is the one who will actually soon be betrayed by one of his disciples. And one of his closest friends is about to deny that he even knows him. His disciples fear abandonment, but it's actually Jesus who will be abandoned by his disciples. He will be tortured. He will be mocked at an unfair trial, crucified like a criminal, and will die a lonely death with even the Father turning his face away from him. And in this moment of trial, he is so tender and compassionate with his disciples, knowing their doubts, their fears, and their insecurities. He reminds them that he's got it all covered. And that although he will be away for a little while, they're in safe hands. For us as well, it means that we can be at peace knowing that our eternal destiny is secure. And knowing that we know the way to the Father in heaven because we know Jesus. All our fears, insecurities, and anxieties about the future are nothing compared to the hope that Jesus brings for our future. And lastly, we need to know that Jesus offers us no other alternatives. There is no other way or truth or life apart from him. This means that putting your trust in Jesus will bring you a secure future, but trusting in anything else will only end in ruin. Money might buy you some security in life, but it's useless beyond the grave. Family and friends are human just like us, and sorry to say, they will grow frail and they will die just like us at some point. If you rely on yourself and your good morals, trying to earn enough points to get into heaven, well, how do you even know that you're doing well enough? By what standard will you judge yourself? Maybe you're doing well by your own standards, but how well will you go when you actually do meet God? Jesus offers us the simple solution, and he points us to himself. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. All roads apart from him will inevitably lead to death, away from God. My prayer is that through this semester and beyond, we will be able to keep delving deeper into knowing who this Jesus person is. And that whether we are Christians or not, we will all be able to see more and more what it means to believe in the one who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so if you're comfortable, please bow your heads with me and pray along with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for showing us the way to God, that we can know him and know true security through him. Though this life is so full of uncertainties and we often face anxieties, fears, and insecurities, we know that we can find true security with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.